many of you have ever been grounded? Dave put up both hands. Or maybe you had to miss recess because you committed some grievous offense. It's no fun. You feel like you're a prisoner in jail or in a prison. You know, we've all seen prison movies of one type or another. I always like Cool Hand Luke. That was always my favorite movie. But even the ones that none of them you would call comedies, even the ones that try to be humorous have a sense of sadness and a sense of tragedy in them. There's good reason for that. Prisons are dreadful places to be. They're dangerous, desperate, soul-destroying, hopeless places. No wonder so many people try to escape them and take such desperate steps. And most of the time they fail, or the freedom only lasts for a short time. But there are not all prisons have high walls, bars on the windows, and barbed wire and whatnot. Some of the hardest or most escape-proof prisons are the invisible ones we build around ourselves. They don't have names like Alcatraz or San Quentin. They have names like loneliness, the past, fear, and just like physical prisons, very few people can escape them on their own, or only for a short while. And there's one prison that no one's ever escaped on their own, and that's a prison called sin. The only way to escape that prison is through Jesus. And everyone else that's in that prison of sin is, you either, you're on a death sentence. You're under a death sentence. And only Jesus can make it possible for you to escape that. Through him, there's freedom, there's life, there's hope. And the sinner can transform from being a prisoner of death to being a prisoner of hope, which is where the title comes from. So this morning, I'd like to talk a little bit about being a prisoner of hope and some of the benefits of it. Now, when we first are saved, when we become babes in Christ, as it were, we sort of have a spiritual baby shower. We get all kinds of neat stuff. We get faith, we get grace, we get mercy, we get salvation. We also get a hope for the future. And I'd like to talk about that, some of the captivating, some of the neat things about that hope. In Romans 8:23-25, which I hope they'll put up here shortly. Maybe not. Anyway, when we're saved, we all receive the hope of eternal life. We all get it. All get the same thing. Not only so, but we ourselves, who have the first fruits of the Spirit, groan inwardly as we wait eagerly for our adoption, the sonship, the redemption of our bodies. So we all receive this as soon as we're saved. And Peter, you know, Paul said that since we all get it, we have a hope, even though things may not look so hot right now. In the end, we win. We win forever. And that's one thing about when we are saved and we always see it. Then as we grow in our faith, we also grow in our hope. So, or as we grow in our faith, so does our hope. Nobody stays the same. You know, if you do, there's something wrong. And people, as they grow in their faith, they also grow in the hope, and the hope starts to take over. And your viewpoint and the way you act and just the way you look at things all changes. And this, you know, this is a continuing thing. It's not like God says, well, you get hope, here's your set of it. That's it, you're on your own now. No, you have to keep on. You keep on growing. And you learn more about it as time goes by. And the same thing with your faith. And one of the really neat things about that hope, is it's a sure thing. There's no question, no doubt. Even in Peter, Peter says we're guaranteed it. They keep it in heaven so nobody can get at it. It's not if I'm good enough, if I don't do this wrong, if everything works out right, if I show up for Sunday school, then I'll get eternal life. No, it's sure. And we don't even have to worry about it. It's there. And then, like I said earlier, it starts to affect all parts of our lives because we look at things differently. We look at people differently because we know there's something else beyond. Things that look terrible and hopeless now are just a start. And there's something that we can do to, or there's some reason to continue on, not just give up on ourselves, on others, on anything, the situations. And then we also have the hope has benefits now. There are blessings that come to us while we wait for our eternal hope. Lamentations chapter 3, verse 25 and 26. Lord is good to those whose hope is in him, to the ones who seek him. It is good to wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord. Not easy to wait quietly. Sometimes you would hurry up, hurry up, hurry up. But no, it's a good thing to wait because the Lord is good to you. He'll watch over you. He'll give you blessings now. It's not all later. And these things are all growing. You know, his blessings, his benefits, and the benefits of being a prisoner of hope. And there's four benefits of being a prisoner of hope, four of the main ones I'd like to speak about this morning. And the first one is a greater awareness of the presence of God. You know, we all have had those times where we just know he's there. In the service or during a special song or when we're, you know, praying or when there's just times we know. But as we grow, as we become more of a prisoner of hope, we learn that God's there all the time. His presence is always around us. You know, and he's not some faraway part-time God. We don't have to stand here and yell, yo, God, hey, over here, remember me? He's right there. He can hear you whisper. He's so close, he can hear a tear run down your cheek. He's so close, he can hear your heart breaking. That's how close he is all the time. You know, and he's there for all things. You know, people so many times think that, well, I don't want to bother, you know, God, he's there when I go to church. He's there when things are bad, when I pray to him. But he's there all the time. You know, it's sort of funny. It struck me odd that people always want to invite God to funerals or to weddings. I don't know why the connection there. But anyway, funerals and weddings and stuff. But they never invite him to a picnic or to the birthday party. That mindset of being a prisoner of hope and knowing God's always here. I mean, God likes to go to picnics too, I bet. And he likes to be with his people and see his children and his folks enjoy life and enjoy things. And so he's there. I mean, it doesn't mean that everything that you do turns into a prayer meeting. But it means we keep in mind that maybe God's there too. I remember a short story I read. I think it's called Franny and Zoe. I don't know which one. And she got mad at her brother because he said he was meeting Jesus in the kitchen and they were sharing a root beer. And the thing that annoyed her is that he only poured Jesus a small glass of root beer. And that bugged her. But Jesus was becoming so real. And God was becoming, you know, God would be so real that, well, yeah, maybe we'll pour him a cup of coffee too. You know, and I don't know that I'd wait for it to disappear. That might be a little much. But if it did, that'd really be cool. But still, he's that real. He means that much. He's there all the time. And it doesn't have to be some big deal. You know, and part of that is, remember, Paul talks about praying without ceasing. You know, and that doesn't necessarily mean you're down on your knees praying. It's hard to do if you're driving down the highway. I don't know if you've ever seen the people that drive and then praise the Lord with one hand in the air. That's okay. What bothers me is when they both go up and then. But they're praising the Lord, so. But the idea of praying without ceasing, you carry a running conversation with the Lord. If he's always with you, if he's always around you, talk to him. Don't ignore him. Of course, it helps if you listen sometimes too. Because he's got a way of nudging you and getting your attention. And if you don't pay real good attention, he'll knock you upside the head the hard way, and then he'll get your attention. So all these things come from being a prisoner of hope. They grow. And we get it gets stronger. We become more aware of it. And we just sort of sense that he's there. And like I said earlier, it makes a difference how we act and how we look at things. So that is one of the first benefits of being a prisoner of hope. The other one is a greater awareness of the power of God. You know, when we think about the whole universe and all we see and everything we see, it's just a tiny little bit of God's power. I mean, he says, woke up one morning and said, I think I'll make a universe. Pop, there it was. It happened because he wanted it to. And that kind of power, or a little smidgen of that power, is available to us. We know, we've seen the power that can transform lives and the healing that power can do. And the amazing, amazing miracles. And sometimes just the amazing things it does. You know, you want a good sense of the power, go out and look at the stars one night. And just look. And know that he's named each one of them. He knows each one of them. And the God that made all that has that power available for you. He's looking. If you need it, he can use it. Now, I don't think that means that you can control him. You know, Lord, smite that guy that took my parking place. You know, I don't think that's what it's about. The power that God makes available is the power to carry on one more day. Sometimes it's the power to hold on one more second. You know, and sometimes it's the power not to give up. When things just don't seem so hopeful. But because we have that hope and we have access to that power, we can also use that in that way. And it's not so much what God's power we use to do to other things. It's what God's power can do to us and for us, the strength it gives, and sometimes the courage. And the more that we use it, the more that we see that it's available. And it's not some magic trick. It's something that we use because it's a precious thing. And he's given us so much of us. Given us so much of it. You know, now, the third benefit of the four is a greater awareness of how much God loves us, how much he loves us. That's sort of one of those, well, duh. You know, of course God loves us. He loves us so much he sent Jesus to die for us. I don't know how much more he could. But in the in Zephaniah, if I can find it, it says, the Lord your God is in your midst. He's the mighty one. He will save. He will rejoice over you with gladness. He will rejoice over you with singing. And God doesn't just love you. He thinks you're a hot property. He thinks you're neat. He's got people like Moses and Abraham and Peter and John and all those other giants of the scripture. And he thinks you are hot property, not all those guys. When you call on him, when he sees you, he sees only you. He doesn't see anybody else. And that means so much to him. But, you know, and when we think about it, me? He cares that much about me. That he sings about it. And I have to admit, I've been guilty of this past week wondering about what God sounds like when he sings about me. And forgive me, Lord. I can just see Lord God doing Elvis. That's just... But he sings. And think about that. It's not like he's singing some victory song or something. He's singing about you. About each of us personally. And one song I thought about that you might sing. I'm not going to sing. I'll just sort of phrase this. This one belongs to me and you can't have him. This one belongs to me. You can't have him. You know? He's happy about it. And he knows that, yeah, we're not such a hot property sometimes. And sometimes we, I wonder how many times he rolls his eyes over us. You know? I bet there are times he rolls his eyes so much he gets dizzy. But that doesn't matter. He's still there. He doesn't go away. He loves us that much. He loves us even when we don't love him very much, or we don't act like it. And all these things are, the more we're aware of it, the more we can trust him. And trust when all these things that we've heard and that he tells us to do, and know that he's not going to send us out or have us do something that maybe it's dangerous, but he's not going to do things to us for any reason other than out of love and concern. Sometimes, you know, love can be tough, and some people need to be tough loved, if that's a word. So, you know, it's, you know how I thought about it is when we talked about God takes great delight in us, and I'm trying to think, how do you describe it. God, great delight is like if you took love, put extra whipped cream on top, and two cherries in the top. That's how special we are to him. It's not just, okay, you're saved. You can, yeah, I guess I have to like you. But no, he loves, and the thing I can't emphasize enough is the individual. He loves us as a church, but he loves each one of us separately. He knows each one of us. And he thinks the world of us. He thinks enough, to, like I said, to send his son to die for us. I don't even know how you can measure love like that. You can talk around it. You can say, well, it's like this or it's like that. But it comes, doesn't even come close. And the love's always there. It's just that we don't really know the fullness of it. And as we grow as Christians, and we go through our Christian walk, it becomes, we become more, the love doesn't become greater, but we can become more aware of how great it is. And how he, just overwhelms us. Now the fourth benefit is a greater awareness of the peace and comfort that comes from being a prisoner of hope. Now, there again, that's another one. Well, he loves me. Sure, he's going to give me peace and give me comfort. And, you know, we know that from the moment when we're saved that, wow, I don't have to worry about that anymore. I don't have to worry about the future, about eternity. But the peace and comfort he comes or gives also is now, just like the blessings are now. Now, does that mean that he's going to make every bad thing go away? No. No, it doesn't, because everything bad thing doesn't go away. But the thing to remember is that every bad thing that comes, he's already there to help you with his power and with his love. And to realize that, that when we have a peace like that, you know, a peace that, I don't know about you folks, but sometimes my life descends into chaos, seems like. The phone's ringing, the kids want something, and just the dog's barking, and everything happens at once. Or maybe it's even worse than that. Maybe your whole life's falling apart, falling into chaos. Or it feels like it. Even in those situations, God can bring you a peace and a comfort to get you through it. To say, okay, I'll trust you, Lord. Let's see what happens. You know, and saying these things, that doesn't mean that we just sit back and let God do everything. You know, he's got this power. He's got this presence. He's with us. He thinks we're neat. He loves us. So that means he's going to do everything for me. That's not the way it works. And of course we depend on him. Of course we trust him for everything. It's like somebody said, you know, trust God for everything. Depend on God for everything. Don't expect him to cut the grass. You know? We've got our part to do also. We've got to demonstrate our faith. We've got this power, so what? Use it. We've got this great love and comfort available and peace. And use it and take advantage of it. Sometimes we miss it so much. We miss the point so much. We get so caught up. We listen to Satan's garbage. He knows about the awareness. He's aware of the presence and the power and how much God loves us. And he hates us for it. He hates us for it. And he'll do anything to break that up. And maybe he can't remove us from it. But he'll try to distract us. He'll try to make us forget. Or get in a situation, make us forget that we got that power available to help us get through. Or he'll make us forget that God's there already. And God feels sometimes sometimes God does feel far away. It's not because he is, it's because we can't see and we can't hear very well, spiritually. So all these things that I talked about, becoming a prisoner of hope, knowing that, yes, sometimes I get tongue-tied just thinking about it, how much it means. We forget, because we're people, humans, we forget. We don't totally forget, but we don't remember real well. If you're like me, go to Kroger, remember you forgot something, but you can't remember what. You know, and that's what Satan's trying to do. He tries to get us to forget, maybe just for a second, or maybe just in one case. He wants us to forget about it, and that, you know, sort of damages the relationship. But when we're a greater awareness of the presence of the power, then we just tell Satan to go to, well, where he belongs. You know, tell him to beat it. Remember, the scripture says Satan goes about like a roaring lion. And it's not that he does it to make you stupid. It makes you afraid and makes you stupid. But you combat him. Remember the Wizard of Oz when they're going through the forest and they're scaring themselves and the cowardly lion comes and starts roaring at them and they're all afraid and Dorothy takes it, smacks it in the nose. Smack Satan in the nose. Do it with scripture. Do it with prayer. Time to get lost. And all these things that we've talked about, the power of the presence, the great love and the great peace and the comfort, will help you do that. And then one day, what a great day that will be, stand in front of him and say, thank you, Lord. Thank you for all these benefits. Thank you for all these blessings. And thank you. Pray with me. Father, we thank you so much for your great love and the benefits and the blessings that you give us and the hope. Help us to hold on to that hope and to cherish it and to nourish it and to use it to bring honor and glory to you and help others to realize what's available through you. And thank you again, Father, for the great love that you've shown in Jesus. And it's in his name that we ask it. Amen. You know, maybe you haven't had this hope. Maybe you haven't had a chance to experience it. Maybe you've been listening to Satan too much. There's a way out. There's a way out of the prison. All you need is to accept what Jesus offered you. Say, yeah, Lord, I'm tired of this. I'm tired of being in prison. I want to be out. I want to be free. And not just bailed out, but set free forever. You know, that's a good time for it is now. If you feel that need, we're more than willing. We got all the time in the world. Just come up and make your confession. Be baptized. Or maybe you already had that hope and you've already become a Christian and you need to be reminded. Or you need a little help, or a little charge, or a little extra touch of the power of the Lord. Altars are open for that also.